You're listening to the podcast of Williamsburg Christian Church, a community of faith joining God's pursuit of restoring lives. We hope you enjoy this week's podcast.
If you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, y'all. We good? All right, thank you. Thank you, Robin. Y'all got it. I know some of y'all. I see y'all. All right, here we go. So, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 through 17. Don't you yourselves know that you are God's sanctuary and that the Spirit of God lives in you? If anyone destroys God's sanctuary, God will destroy him, for God's sanctuary is holy, and that is what you are. Now, two things you need to know, we need to remember. This is written to the 1 Corinthians. This is the first letter written to the Corinthian church. This is written to a people, not a person. Everybody say a people, not a person. Okay, you got to do better than that. Everybody say a people, not a person. There we go. So it's written to a people. So the people of God are the sanctuary of God. Are y'all with me? Now, what Peter tells us is that each one of us are living stones. So when you, the living stone, and I, the living stone, and you, the living stone, get together as a gathered people, as a collected people, as living stones, we build the temple of God. Are you with me? So the Holy Spirit of God is at work within us and among us. But since we're living stones, it is true that the Holy Spirit lives in you and in me. So I want you to say, the Holy Spirit lives in me. Say it. And it's important because this happened on Pentecost. Pentecost poured out the Spirit of God on all people, all the unexpected, usually excluded, and even always included people. The Holy Spirit was poured out on all people, those who would call upon the name of the Lord. And the same Holy Spirit that was poured out on Pentecost is the same Holy Spirit that was a part of the Genesis story in creation. So if you have your Bibles, Genesis 1. And this is important. Because in the Hebrew creation, the Holy Spirit is mentioned. Let's see what it says, Genesis 1, 1 through 4. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. You see the earth that is formless and empty, but we see a bit of a contradiction. We see within the conflict of the creation, the formlessness and the emptiness, that the Hebrew language has this notion of chaos. In the beginning, it was chaos. It was just a chaos creation, but it was also an uncreated creation. Look at the text. There's a contradiction here. On one hand, creation exists, but on the other hand, there is no creation, only formlessness and darkness. There were no mountains. There were no flowing valleys, no seas, no flowing rivers, no life. And it's within this chaos, within this disorder, that the Holy Spirit of God began to give life. Are you with me? It's in the chaos, and it's in the disorder that the Holy Spirit is waiting to give life. And so in Genesis 1, verse 3, we see implicitly how the Holy Spirit works within the creation narrative. Then God said, let there be light, and what? There was light. Then God said the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. The Spirit is God's power creating light from darkness, creating form from formlessness, creating beauty from barrenness, creating life from death. The Spirit of God is God's presence, God's power, able to work in the conflicts and the contradictions of life. The Spirit works in disorder and order so that God may bring better order. The Spirit of God is at work in the darkness and the light so that God may create greater light. The Spirit works in brokenness and barrenness and beauty so that God can create a fuller beauty. The Spirit of God works in death and life so that God may create a more abundant life. That's the story of the Spirit of God. The Spirit is God's power always present and at work in and through God's people. Now, nerd moment. In the Hebrew language, the word Spirit is ruach. Ruach, that's the Spirit. That's the word. That's what the word is in the Hebrew language. And what the word means, if you literally translate the word, it can be translated breath or wind. So when you read Holy Spirit of God, I want to encourage you to think of the holy breath of God. And here's the thing about the Hebrew language. It doesn't just mean easygoing breath. It actually means a violent exhalation. It's a forceful exhalation. That the presence of the Spirit of God is a forceful presence of God, breathing life into a lifeless created order, breathing life into a valley of dry bones. And so when God's Spirit is present, bringing light, order, form, and beauty, life is always sure to follow. Look at Genesis 2, verse 7. Then the Lord formed the man out of the dust from the ground and what? Breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and the man became a living being. The Spirit, as God's holy breath, is God's presence and power breathing life into creation. And that same holy presence, y'all, lives in you. Same holy presence. And even though we live in a society that's filled with conflicts and contradictions, filled with disorder and order, filled with barrenness and emptiness, filled with darkness and light, filled with death and life, there may be times, because we live in this society, there may be times where we somehow think that it's just all on us. Well, we got to try harder. We got to strain harder. Come on now, are you with me? We got to try harder. That's what we say. And you read it in social media, and I appreciate the very well-intended phrases of you are enough. But the reality is you aren't. And the good news of the gospel is that you don't have to be. You can take that pressure off of you of trying to be enough. See, the problem is our mindset is wrong. And instead of relying on God's power, trusting that God is able, we relied on the power of ourselves or the power of others. Instead of breathing in the holy breath of God through like scripture and prayer and community and worship and a life of service, instead of breathing in the holy breath of God, we breathe in the personal breath of self-sufficiency. We try to breathe in the breath of self-sustainability, and we leave the holy breath of God's promises on the table when we should be breathing in the promises of God rather than the practices of self-sufficiency. And when we do, things change. When we recognize that we cannot and we ought not live in our own strength, everything changes. So Paul, in this Corinthians text that we looked at, wants to remind us that we are no longer as we were. In the resurrection of Jesus, death has died. Death has died. And life for all of us has changed. The gospel reminds us that we are in Christ. Say, I am in Christ. That is your gospel position. Say, this is my gospel position. Say, that I am in Christ. That's your gospel position. That's it. That's where you are positioned. You are not positioned in the chaos and the disorder. You may be surrounded by it, but where are you positioned? In Christ. And who lives in you? The Spirit of Christ. You are sandwiched in. You're like a holy sandwich. Sandwiched in the presence of God. That is who we are. That's what the Scripture declares. It's not Fred's opinion. That's actually what the Scripture is trying to call us to. We are not only positioned in Christ, but Christ is now positioned in us through God's Holy Spirit, and this Holy Spirit is now our power to live practically what we are positionally. In other words, we can live as God declared us and called us to live, even in a culture of conflict and contradiction, but we cannot do it in our own strength. So in the common language of the Greek, in your New Testaments, in our Christian New Testaments, the word that's translated there, spirit, is the Greek word pneuma. Everybody say pneuma. And you know what that word means? Breath or wind. It's the same word. Now, in the Hebrew word spirit is a feminine gender word. Now, that'll preach. Now, in the New Testament, the word pneuma is actually a gender-neutral word. What you find is that it's still the holy breath of God breathing in a nurturing life into our lives, even in the midst of the order. Disorder and chaos. And I recognize that some of us don't feel that life. That's why we're talking about it this morning. Sometimes we don't feel that life because we don't have the mindset set. We don't have our mind set on the life of the Spirit. We're too busy trying to find our position in other things and forgetting our gospel position. Because the reality is the Spirit is still God's presence and power breathing life into us. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. I want to read through some scripture. for those whose lives are according to the flesh. Think about the things of the flesh. And the flesh becomes like kind of a biblical language for like in our own strength outside of Christ. Okay, in our own strength outside of Christ. But those whose lives are according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For the mindset of the flesh is what? Death. But the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. Keep in mind, peace is not the absence of chaos. It is wholeness of life in the midst of the chaos. It's human flourishing. It's whole being. It's wholeness. It's well-being. It's not the absence of chaos. The mindset of the flesh, verse 7, is hostile to God because it does not submit itself to God's law, for it is unable to do so. Those whose lives are in the flesh are unable to please God. Verse 9, you, however, are not in the flesh. That's Paul looking at him saying, but you're not in the flesh. You're not these people. That is not your gospel position. You have a gospel position. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God lives where? In you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. He does not belong to God. Now, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of justice. And the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Then He who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through His Spirit who lives in you. What's all that mean? Here's what I'm trying to say. The same Holy Spirit that hovered over the waters and played a role in bringing order to the disorder and beauty to the barrenness is the same Holy Spirit poured out on Pentecost, is the same Holy Spirit that gave life to Jesus' dead body. And that Spirit lives in us. That's the promise of Scripture. Like, that's the declaration. It may not be the feeling, but it's the declaration. Beloved, we need a new mindset. We need a mindset of the Spirit, meaning we need a way of thinking about our lives, a way of thinking about our lives, and a way of thinking about our society that lines up with the gospel of God's kingdom as declared to us in the Scriptures through the life, death, resurrection, ascension, and Pentecost presence of God. That's what we need. We need a mindset. So I want to offer you four things, because I've been on a whole like, I got three things and six things and four things. So I'm just going to keep going with it. I want to offer you four things today. I want to offer four gospel declarations that may help us keep our minds set in the gospel position. Say, I need to keep my mind in my gospel position. Say it. I need to keep my mind in my gospel position. Here's what I want to do. I want to offer you four statements that may help us do that. Statement number one, you have nothing to earn with God because Christ has accomplished all that was needed to make you God's beloved. Say, I have nothing to earn. You have nothing to earn. You don't have to keep trying. You're not going to make God proud enough, You're not going to make God love you more. You're not going to make God want to be with you more. You have nothing left. You have nothing to earn with God because Christ has accomplished all that's needed for us to be the beloved of God. You have nothing to earn with God. So you can stop straining. And I know some of us are like, well, but doesn't it require effort? Like, shouldn't we try? Like, just stop. Take a seat in your gospel position. Sit a minute. When Ian was little and he'd get tired, he'd say, let's sit a minute. Let's sit a minute. Just sit a minute in the gospel position. You are God's beloved, just as you are. You have nothing to earn with God. That's number one. Because you have nothing to earn with God, number two, you have nothing to fear with God. Because Christ has put death to death and has promised that you will live in God's presence now and through forever. John said fear drives out love. But the love of God is what drives out the fear, because fear has to do with condemnation, but you, beloved, are not condemned. That's what John said. You have nothing to earn. Therefore, you have nothing to fear. Death has been put to death. You are in the presence of God, and that will not Number three, see, because you have nothing to earn and you have nothing to fear, beloved, you have nothing to lose. Because God has sealed you with God's Holy Spirit and has made your life with God secure. That's what Ephesians says, that Christ has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. Sealed. You know what sealed means in the Greek? Sealed. It just like, just sealed, just means sealed. Like, that's all it means. Like, you were sealed by God with God's Spirit. You're not going to leak out the Holy Spirit. You are sealed Your life is secure with God. That's why Jesus said, no one can snatch you out of my hands. So the devil may try to tell you things. The chaos and the disorder may try to tell you things. But you are sealed. Number four. See, because you have nothing to earn and you have nothing to fear and you have nothing to lose, beloved, you have nothing to prove. Because God has liberated you in a divine identity with a divine assignment. So your identity and your divine assignment is not subject to anybody else's opinions. Well, amen. There we go. Beloved, you have nothing to prove because you have nothing to lose because you have nothing to fear. And that can be your joy. Your divine assignment isn't up to anybody else's opinion. You've been given that. In the purposes of God as God's beloved. So let society say what it will. Let other people say what they will. Let even the voices inside us speaking lies say what they will. But here's the truth. The world didn't give us our gospel position. The world didn't give us our salvation. The world didn't give us our joy. The world didn't give us our divine identity. The world didn't give us our divine assignment in God's purposes. And if the world didn't give it, then the world can't take it away. It's just like the song. Y'all know the song? This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, come on now. The world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. That's the truth of the gospel. The world can't take away what the world didn't give. Beloved, we are not enough and we don't have to be. Christ is enough. We only have to learn what it means to set our minds on the things of the Spirit and learn how to trust God's Spirit within us. We can be free. Our lives have been liberated by the power of the holy breath of God, always longing to breathe new life in our lungs. We just have to remember a few things about who we are. And I think that's why Paul would later say in Corinthians in the second letter, Chapter 3, verse 17, that the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is liberty. Just as in the creation narrative, God's Spirit is still working to bring light from darkness. The Spirit leads us through the darkness and opens our eyes to see the light of God's promises in Christ. The Spirit is still at work bringing form from formlessness, meaning the Spirit forms us from the inside out through our belovedness in the company of beloved community. It's why we need each other. The Spirit of God is still working to bring beauty from the barrenness. The Spirit can make all things beautiful because there's nothing that can happen in the life of one of God's children that God can't redeem. The Spirit of God is still bringing life from death. The Spirit can give us the inner strength we need even when the outer body feels weak. The Spirit leads. The Spirit forms. The Spirit beautifies. The Spirit strengthens. So when you see conflict, when you see conflict and contradiction, you go ahead and remember your gospel position. But then I'm asking you to remember a question that you should ask of God. God, in the midst of this conflict and contradiction, how can your Spirit be seeking to lead me, to form me, to beautify me, to strengthen me? And turn your eyes to those possibilities. Breathe in the Scripture of the promises of God. Breathe in the presence of God's people. Breathe in the worship and the praise and the lament and the prayer of God, because the gospel gives birth to transforming power when we turn our minds to the Spirit's work within us and begin intentionally trusting and surrendering our will and our practices to God. Beloved, the Spirit of God is essential because the Spirit of God is all-powerful. The Spirit of God is inexhaustible, and that means the Spirit of God is unbreakable. The Spirit of God is knowable because the Spirit of God is both personal and communal. And beloved, the Spirit of God is in us, and the Spirit of God is in me and in you. We have nothing to earn because we are accepted by God, who is already declaring us God's beloved. We have nothing to fear because Christ has promised us that we live in God's presence now through forever We have nothing to lose because Christ has sealed us with God's Spirit and has accomplished all that was needed to make our lives with God secure. We have nothing to prove because God has established our belovedness and our divine assignment, so our identities and agenda are not subject to the opinion of others. We are not enough, and we don't have to be. Christ is enough. We have to learn to trust that because of our gospel position, and Christ being in us, we can be all that God desires us to be. The world didn't give you your gospel position. And if the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. The world didn't give you your salvation. And if the world didn't give it, come on now, the world can't take it away. The world didn't give you your divine liberation that leads to your divine assignment. And if the world didn't give it, what? The world can't take it away. The world didn't give you your identity as God's beloved. And if the world didn't give it, then what? The world can't take it away. That can be our joy.
You're listening to the podcast of Williamsburg Christian Church, a community of faith joining God's pursuit of restoring lives. We hope you enjoy this week's podcast.